and if you use the bathroom, close the door so we can't hear you flush, all that good stuff. Now that housekeeping is out of the way, I just wanted to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. I spoke to Alexis, our oldest daughter, who is graduating from the United States Coast Guard this Friday coming up. She said this final week they're not getting yelled at as much, so things are a lot better. She actually had her voice back to almost normal instead of that hoarse raspiness. But she was just wanting to send from on behalf of her and us to you a tremendous thank you for everybody that signed and wrote cards to her. It really helped her through the process to be able to process the abuse that you go through when you go into the military to transform you from a civilian to a soldier, or in her situation, a coastie, right? Anyways, again, just thank you for doing that. Those of you on Facebook that are listening that I've also sent letters, I appreciate it very much, and so does she as well. Well, are you guys excited to be here? Are you guys hoping for a breakout in your life? Yeah. Let me ask you this. Do you believe that God is all present? Yeah. Okay. Do you believe that God is living not only around you, but as a Christian is in you? Yeah. Okay. So let me ask you this. If God isn't breaking out in you, what is the obstacle? All right. Me? No, you yourself, right? You yourself. So when we're talking about we want to see a revival take place, or I'm saying, you know, I just want God to break out, it starts within our own house. Are you with me? For those of you that were here last week, the title of the message last week was My House, meaning the house that you house the Holy Spirit in, because the Holy Spirit come to live in us, correct? And last week, I was trying to bring an understanding to us that it is our responsibility and ours alone to clean our own house out, to make our own house right, to not concern yourself with the speck in your brother or sister's eye when you have a plank in your own eye. It's our ministry that we need to be concerned with and function and learn and move with. It's not somebody else's ministry, correct? I was also trying to lay out last week that you're the very example of Jesus Christ when you move and walk in the Spirit, right? Yeah. That's the whole purpose of us being part of the kingdom of God. And that means that we set an example everywhere we go and in everything that we do. Yes or no? Yes, right? So hopefully, as I continue on that path today, some of this will start to resonate and make sense. Some of this is preaching to the choir, but we know that faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God, right? I declare and determine in my life that I want to be better every day. I want to be better than I was the day prior. I want to be better this year in 2019 than I was in 2018, right? I want to personally do that. As a pastor, I know that I can't teach anybody anything if I don't first practice it myself. Amen? The Bible says that we are all ministers, right? In 2 Corinthians 5:18, it says, and 17 says that you're a new creation. 5:18 says, now that you are reconciled to Christ, you have received the ministry of reconciling those that don't know Christ to Him. So that means that we have a responsibility. Now, listen. 5:18, 2 Corinthians 5:18 is very simple. That is basics. That is the milk, if you will, of the Word of God. To reconcile somebody to Jesus Christ is simply to show them that they are loved by God and others. That God had Christ had died for them, and it's by the grace of God that you're saved when you believe on Him. That's the simplicity of it. That is the milk part of it. Are you with me? But we've been called to do more than just sprinkle or pour milk for individuals. We've been called to give people some meat. We've been called to teach people and train people. And as a believer, it starts in your own home. Amen? So if you're a husband and wife, you need to be the best husband and wife example to one another so that other couples around you, whether Christian or not Christian, can see what it is to be a devoted wife and husband to one another. Amen? to know what true love and affection and oneness and communication looks like, right? If you are a married couple and have children, you as a married couple are supposed to emulate and be the example to your children of what a true marriage should look like later when they grow up. Amen? And as you raise your children, you're to show your children how to raise a child in the right way, Proverbs 22:6, so that when they grow old, they won't depart from the way that they've been taught according to the Word of God. Amen? Do you see how all of this lines up? It is a line upon line upon line. Do you see, you are not your own. I brought scripture last week that said you've been bought. You have been paid for with a price, and that price was from the blood of Jesus Christ, so that it does two things. One, glorifies God, our Father in heaven, but also you as well. Because of God's grace, He has given us this ability to not try and do things on our own. You see, in our lives, we want to try and do things in our own strength. I know that when I was going through the military, I thought to myself, if I didn't do it, it wasn't getting done. Who has a hard time laying down something and allowing somebody else to do it? You know, it's kind of like, yeah, Stephanie, you better raise your hand, right? She's like, hey, hon, will you do this? I go and do it, and then she comes back over, and she goes, you didn't do it good. That's not good enough, you know. You should have done it a different way. Well, don't ask me to do it. And she says, well, I was just hoping you would be better by now, but... But part of the marriage is we can joke with one another and have fun with one another and forgive one another, so that when my daughter Alexis and Kayla and Mylan, that might be my future son-in-law, guys. Oh, no pressure. I'm sorry. But I had to set some sort of example, all right? My wife and I had to set some sort of example. And I've said it many times, you've heard this preached many times, that if you live your life just hating life all the time, but you tell people, come to God, come to God, but yet you live your life hating it, detesting every part of it, why would they want what you got if you're not walking in the true power and presence of God? Do you see, when you're walking in doom and gloom and depression and anxiety, when you walk in that manner, you are walking in flesh. You are not allowing the Spirit of God that's living in you to free you and release you to walk in the abundance that you have been given freely as a gift by the grace of God. Amen. That's how much God loves us. I don't want you to do things your way. In other words, God is saying, I want you to see how awesome it is when you are led by the Spirit. That doesn't mean you have to speak Christianese every second of your life. That just means walk out your life with the fruit of the Spirit, which we'll get into in a second. Walk out your life in love. Walk out your life in gentleness and kindness. Have a temperate spirit, self-control. Be patient, long-suffering with others. Don't see yourself higher than others, but see yourself sober-minded, clearly, not elevating yourself a bit against somebody else, but knowing that you have been created to make a difference in this world by using the fruit of the Spirit to love and show the compassion of God, because you are the only Jesus Christ that some people will ever see. And then they will get to the point, once they come to Christ, to feel His power and His presence and walk in it. Amen, brother. So we look at Scripture in Galatians 5:20-22-26. But before I go there, let me ask this question. Last week I talked to you about cleaning your own house, just as Jesus cleaned out the temple, right? Because we are now the temple. By a show of hands, who started cleaning out their own house in any kind of way? Very good. You are good students, right? 2 weeks ago, Pastor Weldon said your homework was to be kind. Who's been kind at all? Gosh, I hope I see every hand. Come on now. Come on. If I say who's loved somebody, every hand, who's gentle, every hand. Come on, right? That's why we have to die to who daily? We die to ourselves every day, right? Why? Because self wants to rear its ugly head and remind you of things of the past, wants you to remind you of how you failed before. That's what self does. Self-doubt or self-indulgence. Do you know why people do drugs, alcohol, overeat, and all this other type of stuff, defile the temple of God? Do you know why? Because they haven't found happiness somewhere else. They haven't tapped into the joy of God that lives within them. They haven't tapped into the peace of God. See, if you have joy and peace, you're not going to look for the counterfeit somewhere else. Think about it. That is how he's created us. See, I'm not trying to be hard, but I want you to see how loving God is that he gave us these things so that we don't have to do it on our own. Because when we try to walk this walk on our own, then we're saying things like, I can do all things through myself who gives me strength. But that's not what Scripture says. Scripture says I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. You see, it's not about us. It's not within our own strength. It's within his strength. So if you want to see a move of God in your life, allow him to break out. If you want to see revival, start it within your own house. Clean it up, man, and get revived. Find joy of the Lord. Find peace of God that passes all understanding. You can't even explain these things because they're so good. I think that's cool. Galatians 5, 22 through 26 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Your version may say self-control. I'll speak about that in a second. And then it goes on and says, and against such things there is no law. And I tried to lay it out like this. You're not going to get arrested for loving somebody appropriately, right? You're not going to get arrested. Isn't that sad? I have to throw that word in there, appropriately, right? Because we confuse, as people, as human beings, we confuse love with lust. Two totally different things, guys. Two totally different things. So it goes on and it says, verse 24, and they that are Christ's, that's us, right? Believer? They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and lusts. That stuff should be done. If we live in the Spirit, when I first got saved, this was my go-to scripture verse. Galatians 5, 25. I mean, this was something that spoke to me. I got saved and I was a baby Christian. I had no idea what to do. And all the time, I would remind myself of Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So seek God. And then verse 25 in Galatians here. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let's walk that out in our daily life. If you house the Holy Spirit, then let's walk it out. And I know that I'm not perfect in any kind of way because my wife will tell me, my kids will tell me. I'll probably hear about what I said earlier today, later. You know, you shouldn't have said that. I am sorry right now. Forgive me. I apologize. And we move on, right? But here are the realities of life. All of us have the ability because of Christ Jesus, because of the Holy Spirit that lives in us, to walk in this manner. Every single one of us. Matter of fact, I would put it this way. We are without excuse. You would say, you know, he made me angry because. You're without excuse. You have the ability to push through that anger because the anger is in the flesh. Yes, well, you know, they did this to me. Well, if you come against that in a harsh way, you're without excuse because you have something greater in you than you yourself, and that's called the Spirit of God. You see what I'm saying? That points to, I got three pointing right back at me, right? You see what I'm saying? Preaching to myself, because I used to live life loving to yell. I mean, I could get stuff done, right? I said do this! Because it's how I wanted it to be done. I just yelled this past week. Because I wasn't walking in the Spirit. But when you get to the point where you're mature enough to realize, man, I was completely walking in flesh. That wasn't of God. I need to change that. So today I try to be better than yesterday. Amen? And I die to myself every day. And sometimes, guys, you have to die to yourself 50 times a day. Think about it. Sometimes you might have such a rough day that you just need to keep realizing that, you know what, you are a masterpiece of God and He lives in you, and man, sorry God, I'm going to try again. You're not saying sorry to God because you're trying to meet your salvation. Your belief has put you in that place, but you're just trying to get better. Why? Because it's good. It's good to be better at what you do. It's good to get better at things that you're bad at. And you know what? Not everybody needs to get a trophy. If you messed up, take responsibility for it. That's scripture. And move on. Get up, pull your pants back up, dust yourself off, and move on. Right? And this is how you grow character. And this is how you grow strength. And this is how we get better as a body of Christ. This is how we change our environment so that we can change the environment around us. It impacts people when you walk in the Spirit of God. And again, you don't have to speak Christianese to people to walk in the Spirit of God. You just need to walk godly. You just need to act in a way that you've been given the ability to break through the fruit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another or envying one another. So why did God give us temperance, or this thing called self-control? Why did He give us that? So that we can control our flesh. So when you find yourself going, I just can't help it. Yes, you can. Quit selling yourself short. Quit saying can't. Start realizing that you can, but the can that you can do is through Christ, not you. Do you see how that lines up? Hopefully so. And so we go on. The definition of temperance, and I think it's important to understand these things, is moderation in action, thought, or feeling. In other words, restraint. Restraining yourself from doing something that wouldn't be good for you. It's a whole element of something that I learned as a health coach. Stop, challenge, and choose. We need to do that every day of our lives. You need to see the thing that is tempting you, that's not from God. That's scripture, right? Temptation doesn't come from God. You see that, and you go, wow, the flesh wants it. Stop yourself. And then challenge yourself. Is this going to glorify God, or is this going to glorify my flesh? Is this going to benefit others, or is it just going to benefit me for a minute, but also create havoc in my life? And then the last thing, that's the challenge. And then the last thing is choose. Choose. And so we know that Deuteronomy 30:19 says, I lay before you now heaven and earth as witnesses on this day that you can choose life or death, blessings or curses. And God even gives you the answer, and He says, but I say choose life. God has given us the answer that we need, and He says, choose life. And so 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years later, He sends Jesus Christ to die on the cross so that without question, now we receive not only abundant life, but we also receive everlasting life. Most important decision you can make, choose Jesus. Amen? And then Jesus goes on to say, I'm not going to leave you as orphans because I'm going to be with the Father. To be an intercessor, a go-between between you and Him. When you pray, I'm going to say, hey, Dad, listen to Him, man. That's your children down there. That's what Jesus is doing. But He says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to give you a comforter. That's not only going to be with you, but in you. And that is the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're talking about right here. So not only do we have the glorious understanding that we're saved by Jesus Christ, but also that He's given us a special ability to move beyond ourselves so that we can be the best servant to others that we could possibly be. The definition of self-control is mastery. Self-control. The definition of self-control is in the definition. Self-control, meaning control yourself. Now, temperance is actually a better word to use than self-control. And the reason being is because temperance talks about restraint. Self-control, many times we look at it and we think, ooh, I need to be in control. But who's in control when you submit to God? The Spirit of God. So understand that the fruit of the Spirit isn't your self-control. The fruit of the Spirit is the restraint from God to not do what you shouldn't do. It is a difference in understanding. I am not my own. To Him I belong. I give myself away. It's a song. I'm not going to sing it, but it's a good song. My life is not my own. To Him I belong. I give myself away. What I learned over the years is that my marriage is much better when I do it through God. Because when I try to do marriage through flesh and self, I get offended. I get my feelings hurt easily. I get my toes stepped on. And this is my best friend. And yet we have strife when I do things through my own self. But God loves us so much. This is what you can't miss. He loves us so much that He gave us the ability to work through these things without doing it on our own. That is why when I do a marriage counseling to somebody before they get married, I talk to them about there's three of you involved in your relationship. You, your spouse, and Jesus Christ needs to be the head. It's a triune union between the three of you so that you aren't doing it by yourself. And then the Bible says, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. That is why it's so important to parents. You have limited time to raise your children. I understand that kids don't want to come to church on Sunday every Sunday. But did you know that you have a limited time to impact them? So a couple hours on a Sunday when the world is all over them throughout the week is okay to say, nope, you're going to get out of bed and you're going to come to church. Because we plant the seed. The prayer is the watering, but God gives the increase. But if you don't set the standard that Sunday is church day, then they're just going to move off and do whatever the heck they want later on. And there's no guarantee. Maybe they still will, but you've done your part. We all have free choice, but you've done your part. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. This kind of brings into line the understanding of temperance. It says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all. Meaning everybody in the race is running. So we're all of us are in a race. Are you with me? But one receives the prize. So run so that you may obtain it. Now, as we have run this race and are running it, all of us are crowned with the crown of salvation. All of us are crowned with the understanding that we're going to go to heaven, okay? But we're still running this race down here. Now, this is Paul laying this out. And he says, and every man that strives for mastery, keep this in mind, is temperate in all things. This is worldly, but understand that if you want to be better in something, you better have restraint. If you want to be, like, for example, who plays sports in here? If you want to get better at sports, you better practice, right? The restraint part would be your flesh saying, I don't feel like going today. And you restrain the flesh and you still go. You see, there's going to be days that you don't feel like doing something. But you still need to do it. Why? Because it's good. And the benefit is better than the risk. Do you see what I'm saying? You still have to step out and do it. I've told this story before, but I want to rehash it really quick. I remember when I got promoted to sergeant in the Army, and the staff sergeant above me, my squad leader, he says, we're going to go on a run, just me and you. And I said, okay. And he took me on this 10-mile run. Normally we run 2 miles or 3 miles a day. He takes me on this 10-mile run, first 10-mile run I ever been on. And we're running, and he says, and as we're running, we're talking. And it was just his time to mentor me. And he was saying, do you know why I have you on a 10-mile run right now? And I said, no. He says, because I'm training you to be a leader. Because there's going to be a time that you wake up in the morning and you're going to be sick or burned out or something's going to be going on and you're not going to want to get up and lead your troops. But as a leader, you still need to get up and you still need to lead. If there isn't somebody leading in your life, you are going to falter to the left or to the right. We as Christians have Jesus Christ that leads us. Amen? He is the example that has been laid for us. We then have a responsibility of taking that example and walking it out so that those around us, again, families, strong families are built on a foundation of strong leadership. If the leadership in the family is broken down and it's not built on the ultimate leader, Jesus, all hell breaks loose. Things end up bad. It becomes a lose-lose situation when you've been given a gift of win-win. Do you hear what I'm saying? All of us have the right and ability as a Christian to fight from victory, not for victory, and lead the way. We don't have to allow the circumstances of life to take us out, but use restraint in all areas. If you are dieting, if you are trying to lose weight, which I've been on that path and I love it, if you don't use restraint, you will not succeed. Do you hear what I'm saying? Oh, well, this one thing isn't going to hurt me. Do you know where the word temperance originated from? Temperance originated in the United States, not originated, but let's say this. Temperance was being used as the temperance movement during Prohibition. It was the time. Temperance doesn't only mean restraint. People take the first part of that and say moderation and all things. But temperance also means completely getting rid of. And there was a movement to get rid of alcohol altogether. Because here's the deal. When you drink alcohol, you're in flesh and not in the spirit. And some may say, well, I drink and I can handle myself. You may handle yourself 99 out of 100 times. But what about that one time? So I have complete no alcohol in my life because I don't want to set the example that will be poor for somebody else. It is not because, listen to me, I do not stay away from beer because I hate the taste. I love the taste of beer. Boy, that's going out over the airways. I love the taste of it. But I don't drink any alcohol because I know of the damage that it can do. So I use restraint every day of my life so that I don't set a bad example for my kids, for my spouse, for friends that are struggling possibly with it, and I don't want to put myself in a situation. Guys, I can drive anywhere and everywhere and never be worried about being pulled over because I am sober-minded, period. The only substance that gets me high is Jesus Christ. Period. And I drink of that every day. And so we move on. And it says, I therefore so run, not as to uncertainty, and so I fight, not as one that's beating the air. Paul is saying, I have purpose. I keep under my body and I bring into subjection or submission, lest that by any means that when I preach to others, I myself should be cast away. So Paul lays it out. The reason he stayed away from the things, even though he laid out scripture that says, why do I do the things that I don't want to do the things that I don't, and da-da-da, you with me? Romans 7, I think it is. Each and every person has to make their own decision on what you're going to do. But you can't lose sight that people are watching you to see what it is. If you keep the mindset that says, I don't care what other people think about my walk as a Christian, then you're missing the true understanding of what it is to be a Christian. Because being a Christian is all about service to others. Jesus died for us. He served us for eternity so that we now can serve others. That's the plain and simple of it, guys. Doesn't mean you're not going to go to heaven if you don't serve others. Doesn't mean any of that. But dang it, I want to be the best person I can be. And I can only clean my own house. Amen? Amen. I'm only responsible for myself. You are only responsible for yourself. Proverbs 25:28 says, "He that has no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls." The one that has no walls has no protection. I use restraint in my life so that I protect this. So that I protect this so that I can protect this. So that I can protect this. If I was arrested for drunk driving and I went out there and I said, "Well, I'm the pastor of Shield of Faith Ministries," what kind of witness would that be? Pretty bad, right? That would probably be devastating to a church ministry. It happens because we're imperfect, but when you walk in the Spirit, you can go against those things. You don't have to do those things. I'm just being real today, guys. Proverbs 16:32 says, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that rules his spirit better than he that takes a city." So you can have all kinds of accolades and all kinds of accomplishments in life, but if you can't control yourself, it's not as good in God's eyes. We have a responsibility. So in other words, conquering ourselves is better than conquering other things. Conquering ourselves. And when we try to do it within our own self-control, that's no good. We have to use the power of God. Because in myself, I fail every day, guys. Every day I fail in myself. And I have no problem saying that because it's Him who gives me strength. And I close with this final thing. The opposite of temperance is self-indulgence. I'm 46 years old and I have spent my entire life bouncing back and forth between self-indulgence and the Spirit of God. It's not until we all take a focus on who God is in our lives and take responsibility to be the best ambassador example for others that we can be that we'll still be stuck in that thing. Temperance is a good thing, and it's a gift from God. Amen? Amen. All right, now that you've been beat up, let's close in prayer. Stand to your feet. Father, I thank you that your love knows no bound. Father, I thank you that you have given us everything that we need to change and be better. And you've given it to us because you love us. And you don't hold these things against us. But God, I pray that we can examine each and every one of our own hearts and that we can see whether how close or far we are from you, and we can determine through your love, through your word, through your example, how precious you are to us in our lives. And Father, that just living our life to try and measure up to the Joneses next door doesn't bring true happiness. But the gift of your Spirit is what changes us. So Father, I just pray that we would die to ourselves daily. That we would seek your face. Thank you, God, that you give us a second, a third, a fourth, a fifth, a sixth chance. Immeasurable. Thank you that you loved us before we even knew about love. Father, I pray that people wouldn't see the sternness of you, but they would know the goodness of you. Those that don't know you would come to you, Father, and they would just invite you into their heart, Lord, and that they would see that you are a changer of atmospheres. You are a changer. You've given us the Spirit that brought creation into existence to create new in us. So, Father, I thank you that today you create new in us. And that you transform our lives. In Jesus Christ's glorious name. Amen. God bless you.